Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
What did Joseph have to exchange for the body of Jesus? In the scriptures, it looks like, well, he just went and asked, and Pilate gave it to him whenever he found out that he was dead. But that's not all that happened there. Because Joseph was influential in the community, and he was a secret disciple of Jesus. And what he does, when he goes and he craves the body of Jesus from Pilate, is he sacrifices his good standing in the community. And we know that after this event, he was persecuted and thrown out of the city because of his faith in Christ. The same with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who had come to the Lord by night to listen to his teaching, he came by night because he was afraid to be a public disciple. But nevertheless, throughout the course of Jesus' ministry, Nicodemus listened to him with joy. And he was not afraid, whenever the time came to bury him, to sacrifice his good name in order to do that which was right. To bury the body of a man who had been abandoned by everyone else. Likewise, we have this example of courage from this murdering woman, Mary the Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome. There are others. There were at least seven of them. And most of the fathers will tell you that Mary the mother of James and Joseph is the mother of God. That she was a stepmother to children that Joseph had by a previous marriage. But these women, likewise, stood at the foot of the cross. One thing that we should note, as long as we're talking about courage, where were the disciples at the foot of the cross? Where were the disciples when it came time to bury the body of Jesus? Where were the disciples whenever it came time to go and anoint him and finish the task 3 days later? They were hiding. They were afraid. They were in a room somewhere with the door locked. And here's Joseph sacrificing his good name, knowing full well that he's going to be cast out and spurned by those that he respects and loves, for the sake of burying this man who's been abandoned on the cross. And here are the women who go on the day after the Sabbath in order to finish the task, to show honor to the dead, to anoint him with spices. And they become the witnesses of the resurrection. That's why Mary Magdalene is on the iconostasis, by the way. Because the parish is dedicated to the holy apostles, but the apostles were hiding. And Mary Magdalene had to come and tell them the Lord is risen. She is the apostle to the apostles. So this is the kind of courage that is required of those who would follow Christ. And that would do, those of us who would do what is right. This was a duty that the women had. It was a righteous duty to fulfill, to anoint the dead for burial. It was a righteous duty to take the body down from the cross and to give him an honorable burial. It was righteous what Joseph and Nicodemus did. It was righteous what the women who were burying her did. It was proper. But the fact that it was good, the fact that it was correct, the fact that it was right, the fact that it was holy, did not mean that it does not require courage. Because the women had to go with great courage to the tomb, with courage and hope. We don't know what's going to happen there. We know there's a guard of Romans there. We don't know how they're going to treat us. We know there's a huge stone over the door, and we don't know how we're going to take it off. All we know is that we have this obligation, and our consciences will not let us rest until we go and at least attempt to fulfill that obligation. Likewise with Joseph and Nicodemus. This is an obligation to take this man down from the cross and to give him an honorable burial. We don't know what's going to happen after that. We know that lots of people hate him. We know that lots of people would like to destroy him and everyone who ever followed him. And we know that we will probably fall under that same condemnation. But this is an obligation which our consciences will not let us rest until we try to fulfill it. Likewise, you and I must also fulfill the obligations that our consciences demand of us. We must have Christian courage. And courage is of tremendous value for the Christian. First of all, we have to proclaim the resurrection. Christ is risen. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. It's a fact. And people don't like it. But oftentimes, whenever we think that we are going to proclaim the resurrection of Christ, or we're going to proclaim, the Orthodox faith, or we're going to proclaim what a wonderful parish we belong to, or something like that, we kind of feel like we have to argue with people. We have to take somebody on. Somebody has a misunderstanding of theology, and so we feel like, well, we have to argue with this person. We have to correct his understanding. Or we feel like we have to get into all kinds of endless debates and discussions about minute points or doctrine. I would suggest to you that Christian courage is not exhibited that way. There are many, many more ways every day that you and I can be courageous as Christians that are seemingly small and yet tremendous. For example, some of us, many of us, and I'll include myself in here as well, many of us, if we go out to eat in a restaurant, are embarrassed to cross ourselves and to pray before we eat. I won't ask for a show of hands. I've already raised mine. But is this not an instance which calls for Christian courage? Is listening to that temptation, is the refusal, it really amounts to that, a refusal to cross myself and pray before I eat, is that not a denial of the living Christ? Is that not neglect in proclaiming the risen Christ to the world? Many of us throughout our lives have to forgive people. And we know that we have to forgive people. And yet we refuse to do so. So I would suggest to you that it's a denial of Christ. To withhold forgiveness, to retain hatred and resentment in the heart, is a denial of the risen Christ. Why do we have to retain resentment? Why do we have to retain grudges and hatred? Christ is risen. It's all abolished. What are they going to do to us? Kill us? For what? Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Death has no more power over us. We have to confess our sins. And I would say this is the third area, which is seemingly small and yet seemingly great to many of us. To go to confession. To go and stand before me, before the priest, whoever it happens to be, and to list off my sins, to humble myself, and to beg forgiveness. Is this not also an instance which calls for Christian courage? To take courage against our own worst impulses, to say, no, I'm going to hide that, no, I'm not going to say that, well, I know it's been 6 weeks, but I'll just put it off a few more months. Does it not call for Christian courage for us to say to ourselves, no, I am not going to pretend like I am better than I am, but I will go and humble myself and beg for the Lord's mercy so that I can be a partaker of His resurrection. Even saying our prayers every day. This is something else that all of us struggle with. To get up in the morning and pray. To pray before we go to bed. And those thoughts are always coming to us. You don't really need to pray. You're tired. You had a long day. Oh, it's early. You've got to be at work soon this morning. But is it not our refusal to do that? A denial of the risen Christ? You see, if we want to be courageous Christians, it does not require of us martyrdom. At least not in the sense that we usually speak. We think about courageous Christians and we think, well, you know, somebody's going to put a gun in my head and say, do you believe in Christ? And I'll have to say yes, and then I'll have to take the bullet and die. That's not real. for us, for the most part. The courage that we have to exhibit, if we're going to imitate the Marbarian women, if we're going to imitate Saints Joseph and Nicodemus, the courage that we have to exhibit is courage every day. To do like they did, the right and proper thing, whatever the consequences. And the consequences are really usually pretty small. I give up a little bit of time. I give up a little bit of my pride, and I humble myself. I give up a little bit of what I think other people are thinking about me. But what do I gain? What do I gain by acting courageous in these small ways in my life? I gain Christ. We gain Christ. We become partakers of Him. Partakers of His death and of His resurrection. We put, as St. Paul says, we put on Christ. We become those who live for Christ. We become real Christians. And then as St. Paul says, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is no longer your own, but it belongs to Christ. And then if somebody comes to us, then when the point for real martyrdom comes, and somebody comes and puts a gun into our head and says, do you believe in Christ? Then we say, yes, of course. He's risen from the dead. Don't you know? This is the gospel. This is the gospel. That the way of the world is a dead end. And we have been given a new life. And we are called every day to exhibit the same courage of these Marbarian women, the courage of St. Joseph and Nicodemus, to live our life every day for the risen Christ. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship in the ages of ages.
Amen.
Christ is risen.
Indeed.